Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
That's Not Gunna Productions podcast.
Lady Mouth.
Oh my god, it's like totally Lady Mouth.
Hey ladies.
Ooh, hello. Welcome to another episode of Lady Mouth with me, Mixie Plum, and the
amazing
Dr. Raven. That's how I'm introducing you.
The amazing Dr. Raven.
Yay.
In the house.
What? Welcome to Lady Mouth, the show where we encourage you to open your mouth and talk as much as you want and tell us things. But this is the other portion of it where me and Doc Raven talk about maybe the episode, the interview episode that we have, or we just talk about whatever we want. Like today, our episode title is In My Tribe, and that is a reference to the 10,000 Maniacs album. That is probably their best album with songs such as Like the Weather. I definitely heartily recommend that album. And I think it fits nicely into what we are talking about today. But first, we are going to start with Quote the Raven. So we've been hearing a lot of systemic racism because of all the stuff that's going on that is awful and terrible and frightening. I was thinking to myself today that like, what scares me the most? Because, you know, we talk about horror a lot, and I was thinking, yeah, and today I was thinking, you know what scares me the most? Fucking hate scares me the most.
Yes,
not to be altruistic, but, you know, Jack Nicholson with an axe still scares the shit out of me. But hey,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Here's Johnny.
So, what we're... That was awesome. I'm sorry. I love you so much. Oh, my God. So... You've heard of systemic racism. While in medical terminology, forgive me, I'm an A&P nerd, I'm a massage therapist. The opposite of systemic is localized, which means it's intra. And that is the term Raven came up with, because I kept saying the wrong term. I kept saying insular racism, which is redundant, Raven told me. And Raven, you came up with intra-racism. Why don't you explain it?
Yeah. So basically, you know, intra-racism is when you're basically feeling that you're getting shunned, unable to connect with members of your own race. That can be whether or not you're, you know, whether you're Black, whether you're, even white people have this, Mexicans, Latinos, Asians. It's just this disconnect that you are unable to connect with those members of your own race. And that could be for reasons such as they think that you're trying to be a different race. You know, as a non-stereotypical African-American woman, or Black American woman as I prefer, I often was told as a kid that I sounded like I was white, so therefore I wanted to be white. And it made it very difficult for me to connect with members of my own tribe, of the Black race, because there was a lot of disconnect in that. And that also can be from, you know, socioeconomic status too. You'll find that sometimes individuals who grew up in a certain way, there's a sort of culture within that. And if you're not from that culture, then you're shunned. And that can be whether any race, within any race. And then there's religion, which I think Mixie can speak more to. I think you can speak to that more, Mixie, on that end.
Yeah. So I was raised Reformed Jewish. Pretty much my parents said, we just wanted to give you a base. You can be whatever you want. After, this is after my bat mitzvah in 1991, I became a woman. No, wait, that's Happy New Year. I don't remember all my Hebrew. Sorry. Oh, my real Jewish friends are going to kill me. So after my parents said, you can be whatever you want, I said, I'm a witch. And they said, cool. And that's what I've been since then. I am now no organized religion. However, Judaism.
Judish.
And then I went to Jewish.
I like it.
I also like Druish. Like, let's face it, I'm Druish, like from Spaceballs.
You know? Right, funny. Exactly.
Druish.
You don't look Druish.
I don't look Druish. I'm just going to call myself Druish from now on because I consider myself a Mel Brooks Jew. Like, it's all about the comedy.
There we go. There we go.
So anyway, yeah. So my one example of being shunned from my own tribe is that my mom is the Spanish one. So in the Jewish religion, your mom has to be the one who is the Jew, or else you're not considered Jewish. Now, I went to, in Long Island, New York, I went to just a Reformed temple. You know, there weren't, like, it was all Reformed, very easygoing. We used to sit in the synagogue and chew gum.
Anyway. Pox a car in the harbor.
No, that's Boston, not New York.
Oh, wrong turn.
That's okay. No. So one time when I was 11 in sixth grade in regular school, I was doing Hebrew school and regular school. Hebrew school is every Saturday. Oh, I just want to bring something up real quick. The other day, my boyfriend on Saturday goes to me, so are you going to post something on my Instagram today? And I'm like, no, Saturday is the day of rest. He goes, did you just say something Jewish at me? I'm like, he didn't say it like that. He's like, did you just say that? And I'm like, wait a minute, that was really Jewish of me, wasn't it? That's our Sabbath day. So I guess, yes, I don't go online a lot on Saturdays. But I also consider Sunday a day of rest too. I'm like, I'm taking both of them.
Yeah, there you go.
Mix, you know?
Mix and match. I've heard it both ways.
Yeah. So anyway, when I was 11 in sixth grade in regular elementary school, there was a girl who went to the conservative temple, which is closer to my house, but my parents didn't want to raise me like strict religion anything. My mom probably had a lot of experiences at the Catholic school that I'll never hear about, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, I know this is weird, but I think they never told them that my mom was Spanish, because I distinctly remember one time at Hebrew school telling someone I was Puerto Rican, and the principal looked at me weird, and it was like during after a service in synagogue on a Saturday.
Oh, wow.
And I remember that moment, and my mom looked at me like, shh. I'm like, what? I didn't even know it, you know?
Yeah.
That's weird. I'm sorry. I'm getting to my story. It just, every time I talk to you, all this stuff comes up. I'm like, oh, wow. Remember this memory? Because you're a freaking, you're a doctoral therapist.
Oh, bring it on. Bring it
on. I'm like, oh, let's just, all these doors keep unlocking. I'm like, oh, remember this? Remember that?
Yes.
Awesome.
Come on.
Anyway, so in sixth grade, I was talking to this other girl, telling her how we were talking about Judaism. And she was saying she goes to the temple near my house and I go to the one on the other side of town. And I was telling her my dad's Jewish, but my mom's Spanish. And she's like, you're not Jewish then. I'm like, what? And that's when I found out. I'm like, who says that to someone for one thing? It just shocked me to my core.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you wanted me, I didn't know that that can happen. Like, that's
right.
The first time I realized, like, what, someone's telling me I'm not what I am, but I was raised that way. So what?
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then when I was about 19, I remember talking to an Israeli, a man from Israel. And I told him my mom wasn't Jewish. He's like, you're not Jewish. Like, really hatefully.
Wow.
Yeah. And that brings me to, look, we're just going to touch on this, guys, because I am not completely informed. I will admit that. So the two times in my life that I remember people telling me I'm not Jewish, they have both been Sephardic, and I am Ashkenazi, which means Eastern European Jew, as opposed to Middle Eastern Jew.
Got it.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's a thing, but a lot of Sephardics are very strong about that, Sephardic Jews, you know?
About being like pure, about being purely Jewish.
And that was the whole stuff with Nick Cannon and the Zionism and the, because there, if you ever go in New York in Times Square, you might see the black people with the robes on and the Jewish stars, and they're proselytizing on a huge microphone and a stage in the middle of Times Square. The black Jews, you know, they're like heavy Zionists. And I've been, you know, you walk around New York your whole life, you see them your whole life. So I never really paid attention anyway.
Right.
But there is, I was talking to my content creator about this, and she's extremely informed about all of this stuff. I mean, with the whole Nick Cannon thing, it's more like, Jews come from, you know, the Bible stories are Middle East. Jesus comes from Nazareth in Africa. He's fucking black. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I get why black people would, you know, or just anyone, Middle Eastern or dark, you know, Jews, you know, cling to if you're white, you're probably, you know, you're a different kind of Jewish. You're not like a real, I don't know exactly, because I have no hate towards any of that. Like, I mean, I don't think you should hate on the people. Like, you know, I was raised culturally Jewish. I'm culturally Jewish. I'm not religious. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that kind of brings up something for me, because I don't know what Nick Cannon did. I know he got fired, and I know he said something that was really insensitive to the Jewish nation.
Taken out of context.
So what exactly did he say?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I really didn't want to, you know, get involved, because it's not my wheelhouse. I use that word a lot. I don't know. You know, Sammy Davis Jr. was Jewish, and, you know, there's a whole like black Jewish movement, you know? And
So
I think it has something to do with skin color, but there's so many American Jews. I mean, we've come from the fucking Holocaust. Our families fled Poland.
Absolutely.
You know? How dare you call us not Jewish, because we were condemned for it just like you, or a gypsy or a Romanov. I know, you know, like, or a Native American, disabled, political prisoner, all these people killed in the Holocaust, you know?
Right.
And that's one thing I do know a lot about is Holocaust history. Like, that's the one thing I keep with me as a Jew. Like, I watch all the Holocaust shit. Right now, I am totally, my boyfriend got me into Man in the High Castle, because I have to say I'm a bad sci-fi nerd. I've never read a PKD book in my life. I suggest you guys look up Sinclair Lewis, because that's who I grew up with. Sinclair Lewis, he wrote Babbitt. I'm a psych. I guess PKD is psych. Anyway, I just didn't grow up with PKD, but Man in the High Castle is fucking amazing.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God. At first it was so hard to watch, because it was kind of like when I first saw Schindler's List, my whole heart hurt, like my soul hurt.
Yeah.
That's why I still haven't gone to the Holocaust Museum in DC, or I haven't tried to go to Poland to visit Auschwitz. Empathness is strong when it comes to that. And any plight that a minority has been through.
Absolutely.
But facing Holocaust stuff is really hard for me. You know, it gets very big. Not hard. I could do it. I'm gonna do it one day, you know. But so far I've read all the books. I try to watch all the stuff. I love High Castle, but I have to say Hunters kind of pissed me off, and pissed a lot of Jews off too. Because of the phrase, you look Jewish. And that's not the only thing, but that was one of the phrases that pissed me off. Yes, they have Carol Kane and Saul Rubinick in it, and they have Jews, you know, representing the art. But the whole, you look Jewish, like, I've been hearing that my whole life, when in fact, my big ass nose is Spanish, not Jewish. It was my abuela's nose. And that's all I have to say about that. All right, Raven, I read your Outsiders.
I did.
And I fucking loved it. Guys, I'm not sharing it with any of you. Sorry. But I do, you know, Raven is definitely in the same boat as I am with being an outsider and not belonging. I grew up always wanting to belong, but I want to hear, you know, you talk about that, because you have some really oh my God, amazing things you've been through.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the thing is that when you're Black and you're trying to be accepted, I think it's not even being Black. I think when you're a kid and you want to be accepted, I think everybody goes through that, you know, when you're young and you want to be accepted and you're looking for that acceptance. And I think what happened with me was that I happened to be Black and I was looking for acceptance just like any other. And I ended up not finding it anywhere. And it was like, I went through this kind of idea in my mind, like, okay, maybe I could, you know, fit in over here with the cheerleaders. No, not a cheerleader. Maybe I could be over here with, you know, the so-called, you know, gangsters and, you know, no,
you
not
even
a
know
gangster.
Enough hip-hop to hang out with gangsters?
I know plenty
I
of hip-hop, but I'm a rap and hip-hop connoisseur, but I don't speak the language the same way. I don't have that to come back to. I don't have, you know, this idea of the, again, back to the culture. I don't have that, you know, because I was a military brat, so we traveled everywhere. So there's like this, there's a disconnect that comes from several different, you know, layers of who I am. And, you know, it came with this, you know, there's a price you pay when you're not, you know, when you feel disconnected from the people in your tribe. You feel like, well, shit, what's the point? You know, I mean, I can't, I don't have any friends. I don't have anybody who gets me. Then what am I doing? You know? And so there's a lot of depression and a lot of things that go along with that. And I think at the time that I was thinking about writing Confessions of an Outsider, I was thinking to myself, you know, like, I just wanted to write down on paper that this was a real thing that happens, not just to me, but to lots of people. And this idea that you can find connections when people just kind of come to you and you'll find your tribe.
Yeah.
You know? And to know and be okay with yourself and knowing that your tribe may not always look like you.
Dude, word.
Like, so, you know, like, I love Mixie and we, you know, we are sisters from other mothers for sure, you know, but, you know, it's,
you know,
like,
it's sisters from other misters, right?
Our sisters from other misters.
It rhymes.
Because it's brothers from other mothers.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Got it. See what I'm saying, guys? The slang is just, it's thrown off. But it's like, that is awesome. You know, Mixie's a member of my tribe now, you know,
Yay.
And that's like, but people would, I mean, you could see us and be like, no way. I'm like, yeah, completely.
No, we're sisters.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
We don't look alike, but we are.
Exactly. And I think that's what it kind of comes down to, is kind of getting to that realization. But it sucks when you're living it. It sucks when you hear it. Like, I don't, like Mixie was saying, like you're saying, you know, you don't want to watch movies. Well, watching Holocaust movies is difficult. So is watching movies about slavery for me. Like, I don't like watching that, you know, and I'm to the point to where I've seen them so many times, I'm done with that shit. You know, I just can't do it anymore. And my husband is actually, you know, he's just written a story, you know, this amazing book, you know, called The Red Monk of Rohan. And it's this amazing story. And it actually takes place like before slavery, when Blacks were kings and queens and lords and ladies. And, you know, it's funny because you're looking for people to publish it. And it's like, oh, that happened. We're not, you know, that sounds good, but, you know,
oh,
it's
no,
a little
that. We'll get
back.
Him on PitMad and tag POC. I'm telling you, September 3rd, guys, if you're in the writing
absolutely.
Community.
And I'm telling him, I'm like, and he's got a good point. It's like, why is it that nobody ever wants to tell the stories of when Blacks were lords and ladies?
I even heard before Blacks were slaves, it was the Irish. You know, we had a big Irish hate thing for a while.
Absolutely.
Too.
Irish people have been through quite a bit.
England, you know, hated Ireland. Everybody, Ireland was everybody's bitch for a while.
They have been through quite a bit of oppression, and you know, their stories are also, you know, very, very terrible and awful for the things they went through. And bloody, very bloody.
Oh my God.
Very bloody. Speaking of bloody.
Yeah. Ooh, bloody. Yay, blood.
This might be a good time to talk about cinema therapy.
Oh, yeah, of course. And we picked the movie in like 5 seconds because I had just thought of it.
And it was such a great pick.
Thank you. And I still haven't seen the fucking movie. And
I don't want to spoil it for you. So I'm going to be very delicate.
No, you can spoil it for me. Here's the thing. I get really scared. It's the anticipation of getting scared before I go to a movie.
Yeah.
I, like, let it boil for like a year or two. I think the movie's come out.
Yeah.
When did it come out? You
dude, it came out in 2016 or 17. that Get Out came out, I believe. I'd have to like look at it again, but I think it came out.
I remember seeing all the, I'm like, this looks so fucking scary. I'm not going to sleep if I watch this. And I really want to see it.
It was so psychologically so, which to me makes it more scary. Cause like for me, if you get into my head, that'll keep me up at night, versus like a traditional boogeyman.
Oh my God. Yeah. Have you ever seen In the Mind of Madness with Sam Neill, the Lovecraft story from 95?
Oh, In the Mouth of Madness.
For a writer, I was like, holy shit, I feel that.
That story was way crazy.
Well, what's the story of Get Out?
So Get Out is basically about this guy, black guy, and he is with this, he is in a relationship with a white woman. And the woman has decided that it's time for him to meet her family. So
it's like Sidney Poitier.
Kind of like a Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with a really bloody twist. Yeah, pretty much.
Shit. Guess Who's Blooding to Dinner?
Yeah, exactly. and it basically comes into this, there's all these freaky, behaviors and these freaky things that are going on in the house as he gets there, and the relationships and the dynamics are odd, and there's all these things that are said and done, and he's like, what the hell is going on? And he's got, he's trying to just kind of, dismiss it, but it's like there's just so many weird things happening until it basically culminates into this realization that this family basically uses black individuals. It seems like it's not just men, it's women, but basically takes them and uses their bodies because they're sort of running out of their own lives, and they go in and they start and they put other people's, kind of like almost like an invasion of the body snatchers, kind of a weird kind of dynamic, so it's like now this person and this body is not the same. It's like, this is mom, this is what mom, this is now my mother, but she's now this black lady. You know what I mean? Wow. They've basically taken him over, and it's really psychological. And, the way I'm explaining it is kind of like, blah, but it's really psychological. You really have to see it to kind of understand it.
Oh, I have
but
to now.
Well, basically,
how
they're
did
just
you take it.
I thought it was really creepy. And, one of the things that had struck me the most when I saw this movie was honestly what happened after I first saw it. And I was walking out of the theater. My husband and I were walking out of the theater, and these two guys were talking, black guy and white guy. And the white guy was like, yeah, I mean, it was good. It wasn't that scary, though. And the black guy goes, fuck you. That shit was scary as hell. And I thought to myself, that's Jordan Peele's point right there, is that, the point of that story is to let people understand, that is a very scary story for a black person.
It's a scary story for me. I don't know how that white guy.
Yeah, but it was like this disconnect in the average person's mind who may not be getting it. Like, that's it. It's like this idea of, because it was almost like we're still kind of being used as slaves. We're being used.
Harvesting
black people. Exactly. And that was kind of what was going on. But it was like this, it was in a very different way, but it was very good, very well done, very well crafted. Definite shout out to Jordan Peele on that one. It was awesome. God, and Daniel Kaluuya was great.
Oh, the lead actor?
Yeah.
Oh, he's
love
fucking,
him.
Oh my God.
Love him.
I remember seeing him in his eyes. I'm like, I gotta see this movie, but it looks so scary.
It was.
Leslie Ann Warren, Miss Scarlet from Clue, isn't she the woman in it that
Yeah. And I think of her, like, if I was to dissect this movie further with my archetypes, as we'll talk about here sooner, but I would definitely put her as the jester or the joker.
Oh yeah.
She could even be perceived as the lover as
well.
Oh
wow. Wait, let's quote the Raven then. Call. I love when I call you call. When I call you call. Yeah,
just like that.
Woo! All right, let's call with Raven. She asked you guys a question. Every week Raven's gonna ask something and we're all gonna answer it and have fun. Damn it.
That's right. Damn it. Let's do it. So the question of the week, guys, was about archetypes. And I wanted to hear from you what your archetypes were. Got a few responses. And the biggest ones that stood out to me were a couple of people were sage jokers or old wise men. And jokers, however you want to phrase that. Sage can be phrased different ways. But for the sage, the sages are individuals that seek truth that will set them free, especially if the sage overcomes the temptation of dogma. So it can help us become wise. They see the world, themselves objectively. And they basically, they want to analyze. They want to know about the results of our actions and choices. They're seekers after truth and enlightenment. They have a journey they want to go on. They want to get there. They want to talk about it. They want to get knowledge. They're about
inner, right?
Yes, this is the outward person. A lot of the outward. The outward was the sage.
Well, you and I are both sages first too. So is your husband.
Correct. I'm a sage, and Mixie, you're a sage as well. Now inside, because there's an inner and an outer, right?
Yeah.
The one that was the funniest or the interesting, most interesting for me was when the inside was the jester or the joker. That is a person who basically urges us to enjoy the process of our lives. They're prone to laziness and dissipation. Positives, they invite us all out to play, showing us how to turn our work, our interactions with others, and even the most mundane tasks into fun, okay? Ooh. They're all about that fun life, okay? But what I did, because I'm a horror crazy psycho fan.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite part.
I basically aligned a horror movie character to your archetype. Okay. So if you're a sage, your archetype is none other than Hannibal Lecter. Right. Okay. Because the shadow side or the dark side of a sage is they're unfeeling, they're judgy, they're cold, they're heartless, they're pompous. Yes, they evaluate others and say that they are not good enough or not doing it right. And that is very Hannibal, you know.
I was just watching that yesterday, too. It was on after The Shining. I don't know what channel we were watching yesterday. But,
but you had all the good stuff on.
So I know, right? I love that movie so much. Do you know, I have a really interesting little tidbit for you. This has nothing to do anything, but I was telling you already, I'm in that episode of Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
As an extra years ago in Episode 1, Season 2 of Orange is the New Black. Jodie Foster directed it.
Awesome.
And we didn't know that till we got there.
Wow.
So I was like, they were like, don't talk to her. And I remember, actually, a really fun fact. I met the woman responsible for introducing Key to Peele.
Nice.
Rebecca. Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah. I'm like, you introduced Key and Peele? That's dope.
That's dope.
Right?
That's what's up. I like that.
Yeah. And, you know, they had said, don't talk to Jody. And I was like, oh my God, I so want to go. You know, but no, I would have gotten kicked off set. And now I have an awesome strut.
Yes. Well, and you know, the truth is that she never wanted to talk to him. Apparently she was scared of him. I saw an interview when she talked about it. She was like, I never really talked to Anthony Hopkins because I was so freaking scared of him. So if they didn't have a scene together, she was like somewhere else. So I can definitely understand. I can definitely see her being like, do not quote any animal Anthony Hopkins.
I know, right? I know. I would have been arrested.
Oh yeah. That would have been a bad day.
Yeah.
But, okay, so the fool or the jester, the joker, the horror movie archetype is it, Pennywise.
We all fell down here, Georgie.
That's right. And when you're down here.
Yeah, I love that. All right, yes. I lied to you. I said sage joker, but the first time I took it, it said joker, because I guess I was so excited to take it. I'm like, yeah, strongly agree. I'm like, all right, let's wait a bit and take it again on a level head.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I was like, I'm a killer clown, but I like Pennywise too. But
Pennywise
from outer space, guys.
Yes.
That movie.
And our shadow side, when it, our dark side of being a Joker is that we can be a glutton, we can be sloth, we can be wholly defined by the lusts and urges of the body without any sense of dignity or self control.
No, I'm not that.
Pennywise was definitely one to just be like, give me more kids.
They're tasty.
I want us all to float with the kids. Personally, I'm a warrior on the inside. I'm a sage on the outside. And the warrior, warriors, well, basically, when everything seems lost, the warrior rides over the hill and saves the day. They're tough and courageous. They help us set up and achieve goals and things like that, overcome obstacles, persist in difficult times. They tend to see others as enemies and to think in either or terms. Basically, they have relatively simple thought patterns, seeking simply to win whatever confronts them. Basically, I want to slay that dragon. And, you know, basically, I don't want to be afraid. I don't like to feel weak. So now the horror movie archetype, the horror movie character for warrior, I aligned him to Dracula. Because that was kind of Dracula. And our shadow side of as a warrior is we have our skills for personal gain without thought of morality, ethics, or the good of the whole group. Basically, the warrior just perceives everything virtually that happens as a slight, a threat, or a challenge to be confronted. So I definitely thought of Dracula.
What's your favorite Dracula, Rave?
My favorite Dracula is Dracula Untold, Luke Evans.
Ooh, I never even heard of that. Wow.
Obviously, my original favorite would be Bram Stoker's, but definitely.
I was going to say, like, I read the book when I was 15 before all my friends and I saw the movie. I did the same thing for Mary Shelley's Frankenstein before Kenneth Branagh's version came out.
Oh, yeah. That's my husband's favorite is Frankenstein.
Oh, my God.
He absolutely loves that book. But I definitely have to say Bram Stoker's is like the OG
Gary
for Dracula.
Oldman. Oh,
I mean,
God.
Just totally.
Or Bella. I mean, Bella Lugosi. As well.
Sure, Bela Lugosi, yeah.
And he brought about that whole Dracula's romantic, and then Gary Oldman just took it to another level.
And then Ben Cross did it, too, with Dark Shadows, the original show Dark Shadows with Ben Cross. He was so good as Dracula, in my opinion. But Luke, watch Dracula Untold with Luke Evans. It was so good.
Ooh.
It was such a good story.
Near Dark. I'm such a bad movie.
Are you kidding me? Oh,
yeah, and
God.
I love Bill Paxton and punk vampires in the 80s. I'm like, why haven't I seen this yet?
That's such a great movie to talk about, even with this particular episode that we're discussing, because, you know, one of the things that Lance Henriksen, who played the leader of the vampire group, he would always say, "We are tribe."
Oh, wow. Yay.
Yes.
It's like We Are Legend, but cooler.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. It was cool.
Oh, I like that. Yay. Raven, do you think, horror movie monsters are racist to each other?
Ooh.
Like, does Dracula not like Frankenstein, or do other vampires not like Dracula? Do they think they have systemic and local racism in the monster world?
I don't think so. I think they have enough problems in worrying about who's who. Now, I think that there was some kind, like, wasn't there some kind of, like, there's conflict between Dracula and Frankenstein, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure
and
what that's
had,
about.
Like, Alien versus Predator and Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, but I think that's more conflict of like, I'm boss and you're not, you know,
that's
kind of
true.
Thing.
Oh, okay. So Freddy wouldn't be like, hey, masker.
Yeah, you know.
Well, Jason's right. We should be wearing a mask.
Well, exactly.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring
quarantine,
that
current. Quarantine, people. Jason
Freddy
actually
wouldn't wear a mask. He would infect us.
Jason and Michael have it right? I mean, they're masked up. You know, they're totally, it's probably why they keep coming back, because they're like a virus. they're not susceptible to it.
That's fucking awesome. Oh my God. Oh. All right. Call more with Raven, guys. Let's call for Raven right now. And then
call.
That was awesome. Yay. I love calling.
You know what? Before we continue, you want to come up with a question of the week?
Oh, yeah.
So we could do a poll about which either horror movie character you were attracted to.
Oh, yes, that one. That's the question.
Yeah.
So we'll do polls now. I like that.
And so I'll pick from Freddie, Michael, Jason. We got to do the main guys. And then let's add one more. Or do you want to do other guys? Who do you want to do?
No, do who you want. Just
I'm trying to think of who I can think of that would be considered attractive. Like the creeper.
Texas Chainsaw guy.
Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah.
Leatherface. So we can say Leatherface.
That's his name.
The creeper.
Basket head. Pumpkin head.
Not pumpkin head. Well, no, probably not pumpkin head because he's kind of. Maybe Freddy because he's he's kind of got that.
Yeah, Freddy. Even that melted face is hot.
Yeah,
I love Robert Englund. He's so cute. He was in V. Remember V?
Yeah,
the show with the
show with that where they were lizards or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
hell yeah.
He was in the original one.
I don't remember that, but I was really young when I saw that original.
That's how they hired him for Freddy Krueger. You should watch the documentary Never Sleep Again.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a six-hour documentary on the Freddy Krueger.
Let's do Michael, Freddy, Creeper, and
who's Creeper?
Jeepers Creepers guy.
Oh, I love
the Creeper.
I love those movies.
And I do too. I love the Creeper.
Oh my God, Brian makes fun of me so hard because he hates them.
Really?
Like I only watched them because he's like, somebody made me watch Jeepers Creepers and I hated it. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch it. I'm like, these are fucking good.
They are.
What
they're
are
so
talking
good.
About?
They're so now three was a little weird, but you know who I met and who like loves me?
Who?
Meg Foster.
Oh, I don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
Did you see Jeepers Creepers 3?
No. That's
okay.
Probably why I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, there you go. Well, did you ever see Leviathan?
No. From 88? No, that looked like it was going to scare me.
It would have. Leviathan's pretty creepy and disgusting. Yeah. It's pretty gross.
I finally saw The Abyss after 30 fucking years, you know?
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, but that, you know, when you see the Leviathan or like the Blob remake trailers in the 80s when you're 10 or whatever, that shit scares the shit out of you.
It is.
I finally saw the Blob remake because the first Blob scared me and it's from the 50s. You know?
Yeah. The Blob remake was actually really good. It's one of my faves. I actually really like that movie.
I love the Blob.
With Dylan?
With Shawnee Smith from who went into Saw after.
Yeah. And the Dylan, Kevin Dillon.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Kevin Dillon.
Yeah, he was super cute. You know who else is kind of another one that is Nightbreed. Did you ever see Nightbreed?
No, I still haven't seen Nightbreed.
Holy shit, Mixie.
I know.
I'm dying over here. I'm dying. You're killing me.
I know. I'm stupid. I'm sorry. I haven't seen nearly as much horror film as I should because I had a big lapse in never watching horror films.
That's right. You didn't watch horror films. You know, I could ask about Jack Nicholson and The Shining, you know.
Okay. We can ask about anything.
Lost Boys was another. They were who I was in love with.
I have a Lost Boys shirt. Girl, that's one of my favorite movies ever.
I can recite that movie line by line. I watched it every single day when I was a kid. It was probably my sexual awakening or something because I was super.
Oh my God, that movie was so hot.
I was super into those guys.
I can't do Kiefer Sutherland. I just thought he was so fucking hot in that movie.
No, my line is when he would say, drink some of this, Michael.
It's just rice, Michael.
I was like, this guy is so hot. Like, I was so into him. I was so
into
him.
You know what I forgot to tell you about our first episode together? I forgot to tell you. I didn't know you were such a Brad Pitt fan. The first time I ever had a crush on Brad Pitt was his episode of Tales from the Crypt when I was 15. And then Thelma and Louise. And then I never had a crush on Brad Pitt again. But him in Tales from the Crypt. Oh.
So good. So good.
I knew you'd appreciate that.
Hell yes. I love Brad Pitt. I actually just think he's a phenomenal actor, honestly. Like most of his movies that I've seen are really good. My husband has
watched Fight Club yesterday too.
That's one of the epic ones. And my husband has a huge thing for Legends of the Fall. That's his favorite movie.
Really?
That's his favorite Brad Pitt movie.
I saw that once and just made me laugh so hard with all the over drama.
Oh my God. I cannot cannot stand that movie.
I was like, of course he's going to die from a bear. This is so fucking stupid, this movie.
Exactly.
During the movie.
I did not like the movie because I didn't like the fact that the chick in the movie slept with everybody in the family.
Yeah. And then the poor girl who just said, I'm going to marry you one day. And then she does.
And then she dies.
She's the one that dies the happiest, though. She got everything she wanted.
She got Brad. She got kids with him. She got everything. But right. I was just like, this is just so, what the hell? But he loves that movie. But I will say that Brad Pitt's character, Tristan, looked so hot in that movie.
He was so hot.
Or that I could watch it anytime.
Wet lake movie or river movie or a river runs through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that. They all had hot lake movies back then. Watery movies.
For me, Keanu was Point Break. That's when I was.
Oh, yeah. He's wet in that one, too.
I was like, hello there. I was like,
you know what?
There
should be a separate segment on like actual cinema therapy. Like, I love your cinema therapy idea. This would be great. See the way we talk. It's like,
I know we could just, I could do this like all day. So I'm going to let, we probably should wrap that
up. Yeah,
I'm going to keep talking about movies.
Yeah. Well, there's your cinema therapy stuff, guys. So The Birds is one of my favorite movies.
Ooh, that's another one. Now we could do a whole thing on Alfred Hitchcock movies. Right
oh,
there.
We'll do that. All right. Let's wrap it up though. Cause we'll never stop talking.
Never stop talking. I know.
I love you, Ray. You're the fucking best. Hey ladies, any questions, comments? Hey ladies and dudes, you know, guys, listen to us too. And we aren't misandrists. We want women to open up, but we want men to open up too. And I will have dude mouths on here. We will have dude mouths on here.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Speaking of dude mouths, one guy I do want on here, my best friend David Wolf. He creates all the art for me, my book covers, my podcast. He created all the Lady Mouth art, Lionora, my lion, rawr. And he's creating a crow for the raven. Whoop, whoop.
Caw, caw, caw. Yay. Cawsom. Cawsom.
So, yeah, Cawsom. Oh, my God. Cawsom. I love Cawsom. I keep forgetting to use it. Cawsom. We've been texting each other Cawsom.
Cawsom. Cawsom.
Cawsom. That's Cawsom.
Yes. I love it. That's Cawsom.
Yay. So the Redbubble shop is always linked at the end of our episodes. And I promise I won't be like, oh, go to our Redbubble shop every episode. But we do have a Redbubble shop and Raven's Crow is coming soon, like this week. So, you know.
Absolutely, guys.
We have stickers and merch and shit.
And anyway. Be on the lookout for my question of the week.
Oh, you were doing a poll now. Remember we just talked about this.
I'm doing a poll. I'm doing a poll on hot horror characters, hot horror movie Woo-hoo! Characters.
When I was a kid, I thought Jeffrey Dahmer was kind of cute.
Yeah. We have some real life horror movie guys or horror guys as well, but.
Yeah, no serial killers. Sorry. Yeah. I just had to, I'm like, tell people.
Yeah, Dahmer. Mine was Ted Bundy. He was hot.
Ted Bundy. Oh my God. And you know, and white guys, I don't know if you saw that movie In Dreams. It just proves to me that white guys are the scariest.
Yes, I did see that movie.
Yeah. How scary was her RDJ?
Yeah, that was.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Yeah, guys, answer Raven's poll. We want to know what movie monsters you're attracted to. Are you going to answer? Should we answer now or
should we answer?
Who are you attracted to?
Who am I attracted to? No, I'll tell you guys next time.
I'll just answer on your poll. Yeah. I'm going to see what
I'll answer. I'll answer on the poll. Yeah, I'll go
first.
Yeah,
yay. Yeah. All right, guys, see our weekly poll because even though we did get responses from a weekly question, I guess asking people to take like a 50 question quiz for.
Yeah, I don't think they were filling it.
I love
but
that
I think
shit.
I do too, but I'm a psych guy or gal, so I guess I should just. We'll keep it to a minimum so people can get on with their business.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, so come get at me at. Get at us at Lady Mouth Pod at Twitter. And no, just listen to us and have fun with us and engage with us.
Yes, yes, engage so we can have all kinds of fun on our show talking about what you want to talk about.
Yay! All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Yay! Rawr! Rawr!
Caw,
rawr.
Caw, caw!
Hello there. Do you take great pleasure out of using large and obscure words that nobody understands? Perhaps you enjoy peppering a strange adjective into a work email, or finding a new verb to pursue as a hobby? Or perhaps you are a seasoned logophile, such as myself. An assemblage of grandiose and bombastic grandiloquence brings together all the world's most interesting, bizarre, and fascinating language to teach you a new word every day. We are available on all of your podcatchers, and you can find out more about us at thatsnotcanon.com. I cannot wait to explore the wonderful world of words with you.
A That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Not yet, babe.
I'll keep buying.
No buying. Can you give me a few minutes, babe? You gotta get... No, you don't need help. You're not buying anything.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.